Morning, everybody. It's a great morning to be at Maywood. Awesome to have the kids here. Thank you, Coach Rachel and Connie, all the different Sunday leaders, Dana, and excited to have the kids here. Thank you, Daniel, too, for all you did to get that ready. Today, it's a joy to have the kids in the service with us. We believe that Jesus gives his Holy Spirit to anybody who believes in him, and he gifts them, and we're actually full when we're together. We're using our gifts together. So I'm Coach Jake, and excited for our passage today. Had somebody years ago, when we were talking about today's passage, ask me a question about it, and it stuck with me. We're going to get to that question. But before we get there, I'm going to tell you a story about when I was a kid, same age as probably Matthew, one of the sheep that was up here a minute ago. It's probably about his age when this happened to me. So as you guys probably remember being a kid, sometimes you valued something, you put hope in something, you believed something could be good when nobody else did, right? Sometimes as kids, we think something is worthwhile that nobody else thinks is worthwhile. And I remember being a kid and finding an old bike lock downstairs in my house, and I was the youngest in the family, so I had to go around to everybody in the family and ask them a couple questions. One was, do you know what the combination is to this bike lock? Nobody knew. But that was a good setup for my second question, is do you mind if I have this? Which, when they're like, they don't know what the code is, like, sure, knock yourself out, Jake. So I got this old bike lock that nobody knew the combo for. And, you know, like any 10-year-old, I was pretty poor monetarily, but it was summer, so I was very rich in time, right? So I can never pull something off like this off now. But so this combination, thankfully, it only had three numbers. But I started at 111, and then 112, pull, 113, pull, all the way up to 119, pull. Okay, then back to the 121, pull, 122, pull. I get that summer vacation, right? When you're 10 before tablets or whatever, right? So I just kept trying. And of course, even as a 10-year-old, you have that horrible thought, that fear hits you. But like, what if this is just broke, you know? But I can tell you that I believed it wasn't broke, not because I didn't have fears run through my head, but because I kept trying numbers, right? So we know I believed it could work because I kept trying to get it to work, right? I stayed plugged into it. So I believed it could work out. Now, I'm going to tell you the rest of that story here in a minute, but I'm going to take us to a passage that I think is a lot like that bike lock. There's a passage that people pretty much ignore for the most part, considering it's coming from a famous chapter in the Bible. It's a passage that people move on from quickly, and they think, I don't need that. Just like my parents and my older siblings thought they didn't need the bike lock, right? So we're going to be in John chapter 10. And there's Bibles right in front of you. I'd love for you to turn there. There's some really good stuff we're going to read through. But John chapter 10, we're going to look through. I'm sorry, this slide's a touch. This is from last week. Sorry. So it's actually going to be verse 7 through 9. John chapter 10, verse 7 through 9. If you want to turn there, it would be great. So this passage, right after this passage, comes a really famous part. But we're going to end on verse 9. And it's a little bit confusing. And the typical Bible reader, when there's like a super inspiring verse and some confusing stuff right before, they normally are like, I'll just skip the confusing stuff and get to the, like, how to have a happy life, right? That's what we're after, right? Well, so people skip this. I think they miss out on something really important. So before we read this, we're going to pray. We're going to ask Jesus to come and teach us, right? Jesus, nobody needs Jake Taylor's best advice or best wisdom today. But Jesus, I believe that we all need you. Jesus, I pray you would give us a fullness that we've never had before, to be able to rest and also to have a purpose with you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So verse 7, if you read with me, it says, therefore Jesus said again, he's talking to these Pharisees, he's been talking to them about sheep and shepherds, this analogy. He says, very truly I tell you, I am. Now anytime in the Gospel of John, Jesus says, I am, he's about to give you an analogy very important stuff. He's going to describe his character to us. If we say that we believe in Jesus, then we want to know who Jesus is, right? So he's going to tell us here, I am the gate for the sheep. I am the gate for the sheep. Verse 8, all who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. Pause there for just a second. All through this chapter, the number one thing it says about sheep, about people who belong to Jesus, is that they pay attention to Jesus. It says a lot about obeying and following him. That's kind of the two-step formula. You pay attention, and then you follow. But the pay attention actually comes up even more, right? So when you think back over your week, think about, like, how much have I paid attention to Jesus? Have I listened to Jesus? Have I put my eyes and my mind on Jesus? Because that's what sheep do, right? They listen to him. But verse 9 is where we're going to focus in on. It says, I'm the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. Another way to translate that saved verse is kept safe. I'm the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. Now, remember I said, like, there's a little bit of confusion and most people skip it. This is the verse that's a little confusing. I'm the gate. He who enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. I can remember being a teenager, memorizing this verse, sitting in a metal chair just like that. And Joey, the guy that was teaching me this class, he said, Jake, what does that mean? Why does it say you'll come in and go out and find pasture? And I remember Joey didn't give me an answer. I don't remember what I said because it probably wasn't a very good answer. But that question stuck with me, right? Because when you're in church, at least, you hear that word saved, and probably your mind goes to some sort of fire insurance, some sort of like, I don't go to hell, I don't get what I deserve, I get to have a good life with God, right? We think of saved, that's normally what we think of. Here, though, he says, if you come in and go out through him, that you'll be kept safe or be saved. What does that mean? So that's been going over and over in my head for a lot of years here now. And I want to tell you a little bit about what I think this passage means. When Jesus says, I'm the gate, he who enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. Because I think there's a lot of us in the room that don't have what he's promising to the sheep right there. So in case you're not into sheep, stick with me for just a minute or two. I'm going to tell you a little bit about sheep. I owned a sheep for a while. There's a story there. You can ask me sometime. But the sheep, here's what the sheep would like to do. On any given day, it wanted to be led out to some place with lots of grass. And the sheep would eat and eat and eat and eat and eat for hours. And it would literally swell up. There's a bunch of sheep there for you. But it would literally swell up huge. But here's what I can tell you, knowing a little bit of the science or biology of sheep, is even though sheep has eaten so much that it looks like it's about to pop, it hasn't yet actually gotten very much nutrition from any of that grass. So here's what the sheep needs to do next, is once the sheep gets about as full as it possibly, fuller than you would imagine it can get, it's crazy how much they can swell up. Once it gets giant, then the next thing it wants to do is get somewhere safe. Which safety, it normally just means like next to me or next to somebody it's familiar with, right? But just wants to get somewhere safe, not right next to it, not like one of those friendly cats or like a dog or something. It doesn't want to get like right up and cuddle. It just wants to be, you know, like kind of close to somebody, right? So like where Cheryl is at for me or where Joy is at for me. It wants to get where it can kind of be close. And then the sheep, I don't know, they kind of laying and sitting is the same thing for a sheep, but it has these like peg legs that it will like tuck all in and just have its like head sticking up. Just this ball of wool. And this is kind of gross, but here's what the sheep will do. For hours, it will look like it like hiccups. It'll be like maybe it's like, and then it'll just chew. What that's called is like chewing the cud. So what that means is that sheep needs to like reprocess everything it ate during the day. It's got to re-chew it. It's got to re-swallow it. There's a reason humans don't eat grass. Grass is really hard to digest. You got to be a special sort of deal to digest grass. And for sheep, it's an all-day affair. So they eat all day, but they really haven't got anything from all that. They're trying to digest it, but they have to spend hours ruminating on it, right? And then they need to sleep, right? So literally about half their day, they just need a safe place to process all that stuff they took in during the day. And all they're looking for there is safety, right? So for a sheep, if you just let it eat all day, it will come to a spot where eating is not any good for it anymore until it processes. Some of you in the room, you're so worried you're not going to have enough that you do go out there and you gobble and gobble and gobble and gobble, but you're worried still. You don't feel safe enough to like rest. You don't feel safe enough to process. So you just keep gobbling. And at some point, like, you're going to hurt yourself, right? And the telltale sign of that, if you're a gobbler type of person, is do you feel exhausted? Like, I get myself a lot of times feeling exhausted, and I'm trying to produce and produce and produce and produce, but I don't feel safe enough to just rest, to just process with Jesus. Then there's other folks, right, that if you just stay inside the church or if you just stay inside a safe place, you don't ever get out. There's nothing new to really, there's no purpose in that sort of life, right? If a sheep just stays in the sheepfold, it's also not going to be good either, right? It needs both. It needs to have a part of the day where it's resting and it's processing. It needs to have part of the day where it's out there on a mission to get something out in the world. So now is this starting to make a little more sense? What Jesus is saying here is not get a one-way ticket to heaven and I don't care what you do with the rest of your life. What Jesus is saying is every single day, I want you to pass through me out into the world with a purpose. Every single day or every single evening, I want you to pass through me to ruminate on everything you experienced, to process it in a healthy way, in a safe way. I want you to rest knowing that I'm going to take care of everything, that there's a time of day to produce something important for Jesus, and there's a time of day to rest in Jesus. And that you're not going to really go out there in a safe way if you don't go through him. And you're not going to really come in and rest in a safe way if you don't go through him. So let me break this down a little bit further with that bike analogy, and then we'll get into some practical stuff for you here real quick. So if we go back to the bike lock, I've got safety for rest and adventure. Here's the strange thing. Normally you think of bike lock, you think about just keeping the robbers away, right? Or just keeping people from stealing your bike. When I was like 10, before I had a bike lock, I would go into the woods, this little abandoned road, a lot with my buddy. But we didn't really ever go into town much because we couldn't lock up the bike, right? And you couldn't go into a store with the bike at that point. But once I had the bike lock, it opened up this whole big world for me, right? I talk to Chrissy sometimes about our kids riding bikes around like I used to. She is not having it. So we'll see how this plays out. But when I was like 10, my parents just let me go, right? And so I'd go, I don't know how far away, but I'd go to like, there was a Big Lots and a McDonald's close to each other. And there was a certain day of the week, I can't remember what day, that super cheap hamburgers. And I would go over to Big Lots to get like a super cheap grape soda, sit under a tree with my buddy. And you just feel like a king, right? When you're like 10 and off on your own and eating like a hamburger and a grape soda, right? There's this amount of freedom that came from having the bike lock, right? Of like I could actually go into the store. And McDonald's will not let you go through the drive-thru on a bike back then. I don't know. Who knows today? I feel like everybody gets away with everything today. But back then, they'd be like, no, get out of here. You know, you got to come inside. So the bike lock opened up all sorts of stuff I couldn't do before. But then also, I wasn't anxious about it because there was occasionally times where you just started to like hide your bike and go into a store or something, but then you're thinking like, what's going to happen? Is my bike going to be there when I get back out? We normally don't think about safety as connected to adventure at all, right? But what Jesus is talking about here with the gate thing, I think fits that bike lock a lot. What that bike lock would do is every time I came to my bike, I had to spend a minute, and I'm pretty sure the code was 735. I remember because it took me like who knows how long to crack the code, right? So I'd have to do that code every time, unlock the bike, then get on it and go. I'd have to lock it up every single time, right? Imagine what your life would be like if every time you went, you had some sort of moment with Jesus to unlock that next part of your day. Imagine if before you really tried to relax, you had some sort of like lockup moment with Jesus to like put it in his hands. Like, what would that look like if before you open your mouth to give advice, you unlocked your mouth with a little prayer to Jesus, saying, Jesus, please help me to have something good to say, or help me just not to say anything. Imagine if that would just go through your head before you talked. Instead of being anxious and not able to sleep at night, what if when it's time to go to sleep, you got on your knees and you said, Jesus, here's all the stuff I tried to do today that I thought was important. I'm just going to trust you with it. Help me to be able to just rest. Because now's not the time to be fretting or bitter or anxious. If you had that gate of Jesus to where you're always going in and out of Jesus. If a sheep goes up to a gate, it has to really focus on what's up ahead, which is not easy for a sheep to do. They're made to look at the sides, right? But it has to pay attention to what's up ahead. It has to get in line with it. Imagine if every day you're getting in line with Jesus. Here's a couple more things on safety to get a little more practical. I got to talking to a friend about this passage, and they were sharing with me about, like, in reality, if they admit it at work, they don't feel confident, right? They don't feel the respect of the other people around them. And so because they don't feel that confidence in their abilities or in other people respecting them, it's really hard for them to step out for Jesus or to stick out for Jesus because they don't feel confident where they are. Men don't usually use this language, but the reality is, like, if you don't feel safe, it's actually very hard to do anything courageous, right? Jesus wants to make you feel that sort of safe. Not safe like you'll never get hurt, but safe like somebody's got you, right? Jesus wants to come alongside you wherever you're at and give you a confidence that you can't have without him. It might mean that you get to pray over that thing at work you're super stressed on. He might bless you to actually do it well, especially if your purpose at winning everybody's respect is not for things to go easy for you, but so you can be on mission for him, right? One more thing on the rest side of it. I have another buddy who his friends were, or not his friends, his kids were on to him about, like, Dad, you're being grumpy, right? And Frank Sinatra has that song, Young at Heart, you know, and he talks about, like, this is the best part. You have a head start if you're among the very young at heart, something like that. If you're around kids, you have a head start on trying to follow Jesus because kids will constantly say stuff that's easy for Jesus to hit you over the head with, right? And whereas most of us are great at playing the victim, most of us are great at having excuses of why all of our hang-ups are everybody else's fault, when it's a kid, it's a little easier to realize, like, I probably need to change. Like, if this isn't working out, it's probably because I need to do something different, which is a healthy attitude for us always to have, but it comes more naturally when you're around kids. So this dad, his kids were pushing him about, you're being grumpy, or grumpy dad. They made some comment like that. And he had the humility to take it in, right? To say, like, yeah, I'm kind of slipping with Jesus. Some people, they need to, you know, get super strung out and steal a car and get in prison and have some huge case hanging over their heads with the feds before they stop and think, like, am I doing okay with God? You know, like, that. It takes all that to get them to that question. Like, wouldn't it be so much better if all it took was, like, your kids making a comment and you asked the question, am I doing okay with God? You know, like, wouldn't that be a better way to live your life? So this guy's on a better track already because he's immediately asking God, like, what should I do? And what he realized, a piece of it at least, a habit that he has, is that he passes through Jesus before he gets home. This is my last thing I'm going to tell you guys. This guy works a job like most people where it's easy to get stressed and it's easy to get exhausted at work. But he got into this habit of he pulls his truck over halfway home and he spends a little bit of time praying before he goes home to the family. And he realized that when he does that, then he can come home as a whole different sort of dad than when he doesn't do it. He's very much like just walking through a gate, right? He's saying, Jesus, before I go into my house, I want to pass through you. And this guy tried it a few different ways before he landed on that method, right? He realized if he parked the parked in the driveway, the kids would get to him before he could pray. You know, there's like all these things he had to figure out. With that bike lock, as a little kid, I just kept trying stuff until it worked, right? For you this week, what if you had that sort of determination of like, I really believe Jesus offers me a safety that could lead me to rest, a safety that could lead me to an adventure or a purpose? And what if you kept trying to figure out ways? You know, what if TomTom started his morning off different tomorrow? What if Daniel ended his night differently, or April, you know, pulled Samuel, her son, aside, and they did something differently than they normally do to say, we're going to try to walk through Jesus to rest. We're going to try to walk through Jesus to have a purpose today. Because I believe what Jesus says about himself. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be kept safe, will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. Let me pray for us. Jesus, I thank you for the children you have blessed Maywood with. I thank you for the families you've blessed Maywood with. Jesus, we trust you are the best. Help all of us to start every day this week going through you. Help all of us to end every day this week going through you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.